that we have with Christ. Listening to Sarah last week, a little girl from in Sydney being asked to, don't worry about your degree in theology or counselling, I want you to go and build a classroom. I mean, who of us would be prepared to pack up and go halfway around the world to do something we'd never done, step out of our comfort zone that much, all right, to do that? And, it raised a different point of view, didn't it? Is that school to them is a privilege. How big a problem do we have in Australia trying to get our kids to go to school? And yet, Sarah talks about the kids over there thanking her for building. So, John, I promised I wasn't going to cry here this morning, mate. but when the Holy Spirit starts to work on you, in what you did, bringing your message last week, Sarah, that school is a privilege. And then Chris went on and spoke about that if they can change the farmers from having a peasant mindset to an Australia's farmer's mindset of that they provide for others. They're not peasants, they're the provision. And how much for us to have a change in our mindset. To hear Gordon this morning, to hear Christine. Obviously, Christopher's word last week, you know, had a profound effect. And I just encourage you with that is Sarah said to us last week that God had said to her, this is good, but you have more. I say that to each one of us today. This is good, but you have more. So thank you, Sarah and Chris, to restore brokenness, the families that were scattered, and to talk about the forgiveness. And the world's not going to be changed by anything else but forgiveness. It's, we can think we're going to change it all different sorts of ways. But forgiveness in itself is the thing that will change your lives. It will change all of those around you. Now, you might think, oh, I've overcome. I don't have any unforgiveness. But it might be that it's a faceless organisation that you can't forgive. It might be a government, or it might be all of these faceless organisations that we feel are robbing us of different parts of our life and different things. Well, Chris and Sarah, you showed us last week that if you can help the people forgive, they can change their brokenness, and I thank you. But I just want to read to you, Chris said that he operated out of a scripture from Isaiah 58, 10 to 12. Is that right, Chris? Can I read that scripture to you? And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. And Chris and Sarah, what a calling and a blessing that you're here in the house with us. So thank you. Thank you for your word last week. And I encourage you that if you haven't picked up their brochure, on what they do, then if you've really missed out on something. So grab hold of it this week, all right? Have a read of it and catch up with them. They're just treasures. Okay, I'll blow my nose. See if we can get past this first bit, eh, John? I won't be like your mother. I won't ask you to take it away.
Yeah, I forgot one thing.
There you go. So that's good, eh? Whew. All right. As we heard with Chris's Hera, we're all called to walk with Christ. So if you're here today, consider yourself privileged. Not because you're going to get to hear me speak, all right? But that the God of all creation, the God of all creation has drawn you here today. It's a privilege to be in his house, to be partakers in his kingdom, a kingdom of grace and mercy and peace, provision. So today, feel honoured that the King of Kings offers you an invitation to walk with him. Jesus himself says this to you, where he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. And for each one of us in this place, that's us, we're privileged today to be in his kingdom. I've heard it come in the testimonies here today, the word privilege come up regularly. So for us, let's open our ears, our minds, importantly our hearts, to what he wants to say. So Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, that you prepared me with your word and that I may be part of the vision of this church to see people saved, healed, set free, equipped and empowered. And Lord, we give this over to you in your precious name. Amen. Pastor Julie, over the last few weeks, been bringing us out of the book of Galatians. It's been great. I was sitting down with Tepper the other day. I was saying, I don't know where it's coming from. I said, yes, I do. The Holy Spirit is bringing, it's been just this wonderful outflowing of this revelation of coming out of what Paul's trying to tell the Galatians. So I thank you, Pastor Julia. It's been wonderful. I've been sitting there and I'm writing notes. But anyway, one thing came up last week, and you were talking about Abraham and Sarah, and you said, sometimes it's good to listen to your wife.
Yeah.
Right? The problem was that you forgot the two previous bits where he did listen to his wife and all the trouble was created.
Exactly.
All right? And I think it begins, the whole silly mess begins where someone listened to his wife and did eat of the fruit and caused us all sorts of problems. So, but thank you. It's been a lovely revelation that the fact that through faith Abraham was granted or considered righteous before God by believing in God. 400 odd years prior to the law. And so often we get caught up thinking the law, the operation, doing this, doing that. We've got to. God orders our steps. And the first step is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. The only way to righteousness is through Christ Jesus. There is no other way. We're not going to work our way there. It's a work that he's done, and he's created the pattern, and he shows us the way and the things to do. Now, as we continue to walk with him, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. But in doing that, let's have a look at one of the walks that Abraham took. And it was with his son Isaac. Initially, they hop on their donkeys, they ride off for 3 days. 3 days they're headed off, ga-dunk, 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 on your donkey. So just in that itself, imagine the conversation going on. What are we up to, Dad? Oh, I can't say anything, we've got the servants with us, we'll be right. But then they tell me, and I don't know whether it's true because I can't figure it out, but then they walked another 3 days after that to the mountain where Abraham would be to sacrifice his son. So they're walking along, so we know that Isaac is no longer an infant. He's big enough now to carry the wood for the fire on his back. So he's obviously a fairly healthy, strong sort of person. Obviously, he's capable of thinking, and he's probably thinking to himself, I don't know what's going on here. Abraham's probably not thinking real good either. He's probably not going, I don't know what's going on here yet. But as the three of them wander, as they wander along, you can just imagine it. So, Dad, we've got the wood, we've got all the things. Where's the sacrifice? And he does say that in Scripture. And Abraham says, well, God will provide. And as we walk with God, often do we ask similar sorts of questions. Where is the sacrifice? I've been working really hard in my life. What's coming out of this, God? What would you have me do? Where do we need to be? And it helped me last week through Sarah's message of that God is so clear to us all the time. But are we listening? Are we listening to what he's got to say? And I know myself, Wednesday night, I was laying there, and a bit like Chris with the Bible beside the bed, is that I always have my notepad and a pen. But God, for whatever reason, always turns up somewhere between midnight and 3 o'clock. And I try not to wake anyone up in the house, but the dog gets up and follows me. He wants to sit with me, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying not to turn too many lights on so I can write things out. And I go, why do you always turn up now, Lord? But it's that time where you stop trying to comprehend things in your own mind, and you're actually open to what the Holy Spirit wants to bring to you. And he's constantly speaking to us as we walk along with him. And you can see there the two disciples walking along over there. I know one of them's Cleopas, or however you might pronounce it. I don't know who the other one is. But Jesus walks up alongside them as they're walking on the road to Emmaus and says to them, in your sorrow, what are you sorrowful about? And they say to him, don't you know? At the moment, I would say to you, why are you sorrowful? The King of Kings is risen. He is your Redeemer. He is your healer. As Gordon spoke to us this morning, we can, in all things, giving praise and thanksgiving. If we understand that Jesus walking with us all the time has completed, why are we sorrowful? Why is the church today bound? Where he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We've seen it robbed. We've seen it taken away from us. And as Jesus walks up alongside you in your walk, takes you by the hand, all right, remembering it's a walk. Don't run ahead of him. Okay, wait with him, walk with him. If you fall behind, that doesn't matter, because that's where he carries you. When you look around and you're in your deepest, darkest bits and you only see one set of footsteps, guess what? That's where he's carried you, right? Because that's what he promises and that's what he does. Oh, Jesus. There's so many beautiful things. So many beautiful things. Any walk that we take always begins with the first step. The first step is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added to you. Gordon, don't know how to pray? Guess what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He fills you with his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit knows how to pray. He will flow out of you. Don't worry about that. If you release yourself to him, it will happen. Don't know how to read your Bible? Find it hard to read the Bible. Surrender. Allow the Holy Spirit in. He knows how to read the Bible. He knows how to interpret it. We've seen Pastor Julie, full of the Holy Spirit, bringing the message over these last few weeks, touching us, amazing, with the information out of that. I suppose I better go to my notes a bit. I promise I would try. As we learn to walk with Jesus, he'll supply all we need. God orders the steps of a man. That's Proverbs 20:24. So If we're so privileged that God will order our steps, how about we start to listen? Wouldn't it make sense to listen to what he's trying to tell us? We're created in God's image, and that just shows me that God is as diverse and incomprehensible as there are billions of different people throughout the world. Every one of them unique, and all created in God's image. Now, can we comprehend? I don't know what, there's about 7 billion people, Streety, around the world. How diverse, how different, how big is God? All right, how much does he have? And we're created in that image of this diversity of this wonderful thing. God is talking to us all the time. Are we taking time to listen? Remember, it's a walk with him. Don't run ahead. As we begin our walk with God, some of us line up with enthusiasm of little children. Others come on our walkers, don't we, Gordon? Gordon can't hear me. I can say anything I like. But you know what happens is I believe God is so gracious that he allows us to come into old age so that we can slow down enough to listen to what he's got to say. And then, because his goal is to get us into eternity with him. He doesn't want us caught short down here. I look and I watch people that have been involved in business. Excuse me. It's the tears, Johnny, they're coming through, bud. But people involved in business, Pastor Julie and Graham have been great in what they've done in balancing and recognising that the business is, they've been blessed with their business, it's God's business, and they run it and look after it as good stewards, all right? But it's God's. It's not to take them from God, it's to actually add to. Too many people get involved in business, think this is the most important thing, and we don't ever see them again, all right? Because it consumes them. The things of this world consume them. And Abraham would have asked that question of God, you know, I'm here. It's taken a long time to get this son. Yeah. Why are you going to take it off me? And he wouldn't have understood. A lot of people come from a business world. Their businesses are grown. God builds their businesses. But then God asks them to put it aside and actually give it back to them, back to God. And they go, oh, no, I've built this. This is mine. I've done all of this. Sometimes there's major sacrifices we're going to make along the way. Might be a business. Might be your children. You just don't know what it might be, is that God will ask you to step away from. Sarah, I bet you didn't jump up out of the chair and go, oh, yes, I just want to rush off to you again or build a classroom. I bet you it took you a little bit of processing time, didn't it, as you walk with Christ in that time. So understanding that God blesses us with stuff, and if we keep the order right, then he continues to grow it and grow it. All right? So we line up with enthusiasm, or some of us are a little bit slower. But one thing for sure is most of us begin with too much baggage. Can I say that? Most of us, we begin with too much baggage. We want to take everything we think we need. We take every care, every concern, so that in the end, we think we need a kitchen sink, so we end up with the whole house, and then we've got a freezer truck towing along with us, so we've got our food, we've got a wardrobe with too many clothes in it. We've got more worries than we know what to do with, and we wonder why we're tired. Yeah, well, it's hard to drag us sometimes. But the thing is, if we go back to the first step, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add to all the things we need. And he tells us clearly, because that comes out of Matthew 6, and he's told us already, don't worry about things. I know what you need, all right? Don't be concerned. I've got it, all right? And he continues, and as we walk with Jesus, he knows what we need. Seek him first. Take on my yoke, for it is light. He's a God of order. So righteousness through faith in God. As we walk with Jesus, the Holy Spirit changes our heart. And as he dwells in our life, we begin to reflect him as we change. And Jesus is asked this question, and people come to him and say, what's the work we have to do? What works God require of us? And Jesus gives these words. He says, the work that my Father requires is to believe in the one whom he sent. That's our works. That's our first step in our walk with Christ. After that follows the change of heart, which then we go out and start to do the works, to feed the poor, to look after the clothe the naked, do all the things that we do. The works follow, but we've got to keep our order right. Don't look to getting the works going first. Seek first the kingdom. The works will follow out of that. And Pastor Julie's been covering out of Galatians. We begin to reflect him. We begin to lay up treasures in heaven. Get the order right. Faith, then works. We can't become righteous through works or law, but we can work at laying up treasure in heaven by becoming righteous through faith in Christ and walking with him, allowing him to direct our paths, putting things in the right order. He's a God of order. He tells us that. Also, in Psalm 24, just go there. Let's go to Psalm 24. You all know it. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I wrote it down somewhere. Here it'll be. Go there. All right. You know this one. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Others say the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. But most of us hang on to too many things. But if we accept that the world is the Lord's, all right, and all the fullness of it, that everything is his, all right, we can walk with him, leaving the burdens behind, because everything is his. All right, the righteous and also those that are actually non-righteous, they're all his. All right, he's created all of them, those for righteousness, those for the other side of things. He tells us this, but too often we get hanging on to things thinking, I've put effort into this, I've done this, I've done, I built, I've. But it's already God's. Let go of it. It's be light. Hang on to things lightly. It's not to carry in the walk with Jesus. He says, I will carry it for you. Take on my yoke. Put it on yourself. So whatever you might be carrying today, give it over to Jesus. Now, I actually mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I'd be bringing this message, and I didn't think at the time anything of it, but the last few days, and I know I promote this little book, but I encourage you, if you want to start your day right, sit down with God, sit in your chair, spend a little time with him, pick this up and read it, put the day into practice. And anyway, it says here, the last few days. Now, understand, I put this message together a little while back, but it says on Wednesday, June 11, get alone with God. Thursday, June 12, get alone with God. Friday, June 13, get alone with God. Saturday, June 14, who are you depending on? For without me, you can do nothing, John 15, 5. But then today, fathers, leave footprints for your children. And it says here at the finish of this little thing, Father, commit yourself to following the Lord and leaving footprints for your children to walk in. as we walk with Jesus and leaving footprints, obviously you've all heard that, you know, footprints, you're being carried. But are we leaving footprints for our children to follow, following Jesus' example as we go through our lives? And as we do that today, I really encourage you, grab hold of this, read it, put it into practice. There's so many good things come to pass out of it. So let's just have a quick look. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. That's Proverbs 16:7. A man's steps are directed by the Lord, so let's listen to him. Let's be directed by him. 1 Peter 2:21, he says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So today, as we walk in his steps, as we follow him throughout all the things that he would want to do, let's just have a look. It's a walk with God. Don't run ahead of him. If you fall behind, he'll pick you up. In your toughest times, that's when he carries you. Abraham and Sarah both laughed at God when he said, this is the plan for you. Again, Sarah did what the girls do, said, no, I didn't. God said, yes, you did, but it's all right. But Abraham, you know, when God said to him, look, you're going to, come on. I ask you today, do you probably laugh at what God is asking you to do and go, God, you might, but remember that it's him in you that he's asking to do that. Maybe you feel the same way. So by faith, all right? So in your life, if you had waited years or decades for God's promise to come to fruition, maybe we could comprehend just exactly the same as Abraham did, that maybe this is not for us. But we heard from Gordon today that it's never too late. All right? It is never too late. Maybe God's asking you to give up something, though. And we looked at some of those things. Maybe it's money, your home, your retirement, your success. But whatever it might be, okay, is that we need to slow down, get closer to him. And as I said, I think he allows us to grow old so we do slow down, so that we enter into eternity with him. We don't find ourselves so consumed by something else that we don't get there with him. Now, ultimately, in order to save your life, you'll actually have to surrender the old one. And at some point of your life, you'll go, Lord, I can't, you can. And I encourage you that always that walk with Christ is moving us to that place. It's not that we do things wrong, right? It's just saying, Lord, I messed up today, forgive me. And he continues walking with us through the process because he wants to see us enter into eternity with him. That's his goal, his plan. There's stuff happens in between. We might get sick, we might have things. This little bit of eternity, all right, he walks us through it constantly so that we might have the focus of the goal of eternal life with him. Now, I reckon that the Holy Spirit really wants to restore the joy back to his church, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I really believe that, you know, as we've been walking, and as I say, we've enveloped ourselves with so much stuff. I encourage you today is just to look to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to shake this off today. I'm going to surrender it all over to you, and I'm going to walk closely with you. It might be that you just need to cuddle up to Sarah and take on some of the strength that she showed us last week. I don't know what Chris is bringing out of Uganda, all right? Whatever it might be. But as the joy is restored to God's church, we're not a downbeaten, downtrodden, glum-looking lot of people. Is we are victorious. We are overcomers. Like Gordon said, yeah, we pray for these things, you know? We weren't given a spirit of fear and timidity, all right? We're given a spirit of overcoming and uplifting. So I'm going to give you the opportunity today that if you want prayer, we're going to pray just to get our joy back in this house. It's not about rules or regulations. Jesus was never about rules and regulations. Not once did Jesus come about rules. If you do this right, Jesus came and he said, look, let me help you up. I love you so much to leave you there. Are we listening to him? Are we receiving and recognizing, yeah, what he's doing for us in our lives? Are we walking in joy each day? Do we wake up, the first thing we do is spring out of bed and go, Lord, thank you, I'm awake, I'm still breathing. Yes, it's a good start to the day. Every one of us has something we can give thanks for at the beginning of the day. If we just do that, we will change everything in our lives. If we learn to give thanks in all things giving praise and thanksgiving. Your mind can't comprehend two things at once, right? It can either give praise and thanks or it can dwell on the worry. Gordon's told me that this morning, all right? Jump out of bed, give thanks to God, be excited. All right, make that the first part of your life. Invite him to walk with you, to lead you and guide you in all that we do. So as we finish up, Lord, because my girl's not real well, I'm going to help Streety today make coffees. So through the first song, if you want prayer for anything, I'll be here for that. After that, the prayer team will be here. But I offer you this today, that if there's something as you've been walking with Christ and you've still got the freezer truck full of food or your concerns or your worries or your wardrobe that's too full or whatever that you can't match things up in it, whatever it might be, if you want to come today and just surrender those things over to Jesus, all right, we'll give you the opportunity. So, Lord, we just want to thank you today. We want to thank you, Father, that, Lord, as you walk with us, you hold our hands. Even as you walked on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, Father, you ask them, you know, why are you sorrowful? Well, today you ask us that question. And Father, we have nothing to be sorrowful for. We have everything to be excited for, Father. We have this delight in you, Jesus, that we come. And Father, you've chosen us. You've called us for a time such as this. Yet we're privileged to be called by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And today, Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we thank you, Jesus, for your presence in our lives, in this place. And Father, as you continue to touch this local community, Father, through all of the things that this church does, we give you thanks today. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.